Hi, I'm Sol Trumbo from the Economic Justice Department of the Transnational Institute. For more information, go to tni.org. As a part of our work on economic governance in Europe, we have organized a series of debates with the European Commission. In relation with the Pact of Competitiveness being discussed by the European leaders, we set on June 26th a debate with the title Competitiveness versus Democracy. This podcast is the contribution of the panelist Ronald Jensen, Chief Economist of the European Trade Union Confederation. He will stress how the current model of decision-making in Western economies is based in a model designed by the Chicago Boys.
This seminar is about the competitiveness contracts or contractual arrangements that the Commission and the Council are preparing or proposing. The problem with that is that this is still in the process of being proposed and that there is actually not much detail known about this. Perhaps Mrs. Blücher can say a little bit more on possible detail. But anyway, the idea was indeed that those contractual arrangements would be endorsed or set in motion by the Council of this week, tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. But apparently, there are internal discussions between member states. Some member states, according to our information, do not agree on this. And the consequence is that actually this decision to approve contractual arrangements is, according to our information, postponed until October and the December Council. So that makes it somewhat difficult to go into the detail and criticism of these contractual arrangements for me. But what I would like to do instead is to give you a general background on these things and on the whole exercise of European economic governance. So what you know and observe in public opinion about European economic governance is that it's being presented as something that is urgent and necessary to save the single currency, to make the single currency sustainable. And the way to do so is, as being said by Commission, by Council, in public opinion, the way to do so is to transfer competence on economic but also social policy making to the European level, so that at European level policymakers can decide, perhaps not on the complete details, but at least on the big orientations of certain policies, so that one can make sure that we don't have 17 different policies at member states conflicting with what is necessary from the point of view of the euro area, from the point of view of the single currency. That is the way the dossier, the team is being presented. I would like to go a little bit deeper into this general background, and I would like to make the comparison with the model of monetary policy making that has been developed over the past decades in the industrialized Western world, and which actually comes from the monetarist counter-revolution, Chicago Boys. And in that model of monetary policy making, the competence on setting interest rates and exchange rates is being transferred from national government and politicians to a central bank and an independent central bank. And then in this model, this central bank, these bankers, technicians, are then supposed to conduct monetary policy on the basis of a set of fixed rules, growth of monetary volumes, for example, price stability target of 2 or 3%. And the main argument to give up on monetary policy and to transfer it to an independent central bank has always been to say, well, if we do that, then the credibility of monetary policy is enhanced. There's more trust on financial markets that a government will not pursue an inflationist policy or default on its debt, so you will be rewarded by lower interest rates. That is the monetarist counter-revolution, the model of Friedman to conduct monetary policy, so giving up on competence from the national government and transferring it to this independent central bank. Now, if you look at the fiscal compact, if you look at the competitiveness pact, the old one, the Euro Plus pact, and probably if you look at what's going to come with the contractual arrangement, they follow an identical logic. So it's about setting up a system of rules on fiscal policy, deficits and debt, zero debt deficit, 60% debt. It's about setting up a framework on competitiveness, implying mostly wages, saying nominal wages should not increase more than productivity, for example. So you have this predetermined framework of rules, and you also have the fact that independent institutions of technicians, commission for example, or European Fiscal Authority as it is called, institutions independent from national elected governments get the competence to watch over the implementation of these rules and possibly sanction member states if they do not follow these rules. The third element of the monetarist model of monetary policy making is also there, because all of this is being done in the hope that by giving up competence by national governments in this way, that one can restore financial market credibility and unlock the credit squeeze that is still, mainly in the south, simply destroying the economies over there. So that is something that strikes me as an economist and also as a citizen. As a citizen, because it raises a number of key essential concerns. First concern is that the hypothesis underlying this is that politicians always mess up and that technicians never can do any mistake. But are we so sure of that? The three R's, we have Reinhardt and Rogoff, for example. I don't have to repeat that, but the third R is the R of Lars Rehling, former director of ECFIN, who did not see coming what was coming, the bubble in Ireland, for example. In this case, Rehling went as far to apologize after the crisis in Ireland, saying that they had got it completely wrong. But I think I can illustrate what is illustrated by this. The second concern is who controls the technicians. How to avoid that technicians in charge of monetary policy, fiscal policy, wage policy, start doing things beyond their mandate and start saying, well, it may well be the case that democracy wants a minimum wage, but we think it's wrong, so let's throw it away, the minimum wage. Who controls the technicians? I think what Draghi said to the president of the ECB a year ago, saying social Europe is gone, is very much illustrating this. I would say he was probably thinking, on top of that, social Europe is gone, and we as ECB are making sure of it. So it's going beyond the matter. A third key concern is if you have these technicians and independent institutions watching over all of these things, how to avoid that these institutions are being hijacked by special interest groups. I mean, from the trade union side, it's very clear that the Commission is hijacked by the employees. President Barroso knows by heart the reform barometer of Business Europe. He knows it by heart. Another question, another concern is it's kind of logical, but when people see that politicians, their governments, have no longer any capacity to influence monetary policy, fiscal policy, wage policy, and not even social security, labor market policy, why bother and go voting? And don't have to refer to a lot of developments going on in several countries. So we have the victory of the Chicago Boys in the Europe of today, and I think one of the key factors in all of this is that has to do with the design of the single currency, the fact that national governments and sovereign debts of national governments are no longer backed by their own central bank. We have the European Central Bank, but the European Central Bank does not, per definition, bail out or help Spanish government debt or the Italian government debt when they are in trouble. And so this gives rise to a special situation in which, under pressure from the European Central Bank, you get these big developments towards this monetaristic model of policy making and democracy. Final slide. Where are we as trade unions in Europe today? Well, I have to say that from the moment the Council last year launched this idea of a genuine monetary union, referring to the social dimension, that a lot of trade union leaders were hoping for green shoots of change, and seeing this as a kind of first indication that things were about to change, that European leaders and politicians were realizing that they were on the wrong track. So we were kind of looking hopefully at the Council conclusions at the Council meeting this week, hoping it would have something hard on social Europe, social dimension. However, reading the draft Council conclusions, only referring to social indicators, well, that's kind of disappointing for the trade unions in Europe. What we have done in the past and what we continue to do is to denounce the wage race to the bottom. And let me show you one illustration of this. This is the well-known graph about the evolution of union labor costs since 1999, where you see that whereas Germany was depressing wage costs over that whole period, you had wage costs shooting up in countries like Greece and Spain. But then look at what has been happening since 2010 in Greece, where you see that the blue line at the top for Greece is suddenly collapsing. And well, in a cynical way, you can say that the Greeks have become Germans, and even better than Germans, because at this moment in time, or projected for 2014, their evolution in unit wage costs would now be lower since 1999 than the evolution of wage costs in Germany. And this has to do with the Troika intervention, with the complete deregulation of wage formation systems in Europe, in Greece, and the danger is, of course, that once this starts happening in Greece, it starts happening in Spain, then in France, and you get this wage race to the bottom. What we've, as ETC, also been very clear about is to say that if these contractual arrangements that will be proposed by the Commission or the Council are in this line of drug interventions, then we reject them. And finally, we've also been calling for respect for the autonomy of social partners, the national social dialogue. We've also called for the strengthening, not the weakening and undermining of collective bargaining systems. And on top of that, a high minimum wage in those countries where they exist and where our affiliates defend them. So that's my introduction. I promise